Hello again, everybody. Gotta keep it down. It is a, I didn't want to scream. I almost did. But we gotta realize this is Night Court After Dark.
Yes. How about that?
I think we've had like three After Dark shows, maybe. We had one in Portland that we did after a game one night. That was fun.
We had a studio. We had an audience.
Yeah, we had an audience for that one. And then we had a another night one over here at your place, which I remember it because I remember it was one of my favorite pictures of all time when I took a selfie of us.
Oh, and you couldn't see me. Yeah, that was one of those, you got a smile instances.
Yeah. So I remember we did a show here for that too. But this is a Night Court After Dark, and glad you're with us. We got a lot of things to get into. We'll talk NBA playoffs. We just watched the end of the Miami-Boston game here on, what is today, Wednesday night. Just watched the end of that game, and it was thrilling as Boston and Miami are now even at a game apiece with the Heat getting the win tonight.
23 made threes by Miami.
23 made threes. Unbelievable. This is our traditional annual. We do this before the season, and we do it before the playoffs, but not before.
Not before. This is our traditional
playoffs have already started preview.
Yes.
Yeah.
The same as we do already started season preview.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we will preview. It's much easier to preview series when they've played two games. So that's what we've decided that we are doing. Also, wanted to mention that we ended the show last week talking about the big news. We do have big news coming up here in the next week.
1 week.
Yeah.
Be ready.
Yeah, follow on Twitter. It's at NightCourt22, at BrevinKnight22, at The Fish Nation. You'll get all the details there. Basically, the biggest thing is you'll continue to listen to us. It'll be just as easy to follow us and listen to the show, but you're also going to be able to watch the show.
Woo-hoo.
I'm terrified.
Video time, baby.
Like, tonight is not video acceptable for me. I haven't shaved in a week.
That's what the people want to see. They want to see they want to see the Rob Fisher that's not on.
Oh yeah.
Not with the shoes, not with the suit.
They want to see the guy that works in the backyard.
That's exactly what they want to see.
And
they're going
to
see it.
You're going to get to see it. So yeah, so the exciting news coming up. It's just going to get bigger and better here for Night Court. So looking forward to that. Stay tuned for that. We're doing After Dark because I was at my daughter's soccer game tonight, and it was really weird. A couple of things about the soccer game. One, I kept looking around and I kept seeing a friend of mine, and I thought, wow, do all soccer dads look like him? You know, middle-aged to late middle-aged with, you know, a dad bod and a beard that's got gray in it. And then I thought, wait a second, that's me.
You're the epitome of soccer dads right now.
So I saw me a lot tonight.
A lot of yous walking around.
There were a lot of me's walking around, yeah. And then my daughter, she scored. She scored a goal.
Okay.
Which was really cool.
Okay.
When she scored, you know, the people in the crowd, they clap and they applaud. So because they were clapping and applauding, she turned to the crowd and did a bow. Not just a bow, the whole arm gesture bow thing.
I love it.
And I asked her what that was all about. And she said, well, they were clapping, so I thought I would bow to the crowd. It's like,
hey, listen, play right to the crowd. She's a show woman.
How about that?
That's what she is.
What?
She's my girl.
Did you ever have a celebration for yourself?
I don't think I really had a celebration.
Nothing. You didn't like the bow. You didn't bow an arrow.
No,
after you
I didn't make enough. I didn't make enough threes to have a 3-point. So I should have had a 3-point celebration, because when I made one, I think everybody celebrated.
My favorite celebration is too little. It's got to be.
Yeah. I just saw it.
Because it's disrespectful, and it's hysterical at the same time.
Well, I love when it's other short players doing it. Like when short players do it to short players. It's funny.
That's very funny.
Like, well, you're too little also. He was just a little bit.
You're just littler.
He's just littler.
Yeah.
That's all it was. But, that was. Yeah, no, I had no. That's. I think I was just a born basketball player.
Well, back in the day, Brevin, I don't think there was too much, actually. I mean, we had the Stroh Show back in the day.
Right.
You know, that was great.
I think people just played the game a lot.
Right.
We played and talked a lot of shit during the game, and I think that's pretty much it. Didn't have a lot of celebration dances.
No. How are you enjoying the NBA playoffs?
I told you when the season ended that I was going every night. I was going to be parked in front of the TV, which I normally am not. I've enjoyed it. There have been a couple of those game ones where there were the blowouts. Those aren't enjoyable games. But the thing is, even in the blowouts, in some of those games, you could sit there and say, well, this other team only has to do a couple of things, and it won't be a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're seeing in these game twos, is just some minor adjustments that then give teams a chance to win the basketball game. And so, I've enjoyed, and I didn't, the other thing is, I didn't know how much I was going to enjoy the Eastern Conference games. Just because we don't, you know, we play them twice a year, we watch a little bit, but we're so much on the Western Conference side that we don't do a lot with the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
But watching their, I've sat back and watched those games and been like, okay, the playoffs are here. Well, don't make any plans. That's what I would say. Don't make no plans for me at nighttime.
I thought I mentioned it to you before we started recording. If somehow Boston were to lose to Miami, the East is wide open. I mean, for anybody, because everybody's got some real positive things about their team, but they also have big question marks. A couple of teams have big question marks as far as whether they have guys that are even available to play.
Yeah, it's shaping up that if the Celtics don't win, I think you're then handing the championship to whoever the Western Conference champion is.
Yeah,
I think that that's what happens. But I like you said, it's a toss-up. New York just continues to put, like, people want to try to say all of what they don't have and what. Somehow, we always say, like, during seasons, there's always just those teams that have enough of that it factor to keep winning games.
Yes. Well, and they're one of them.
And right now, I feel like that's where New York is.
Yeah. And, all right, so in the East, let's start with the even series, Milwaukee and Indiana. Indiana came in as a favorite in this series against Milwaukee, of course, without Giannis. But doesn't Milwaukee still have more better players?
Well, they have veteran guys, but what they don't have is a bunch of guys that have played together. Indiana, though, has a bunch of guys that continue to play, don't really know much, and have played together.
And if Siakam plays like he's playing.
And he has his introduction to their team, or it has worked out fantastic. He's adapted just
seamless.
Fine.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been great for him, and so the thing with Indiana is they have length, they have scores, and I thought with getting Siakam, they added at least another wing defender. I mean, Nesmith is one that plays defense on with their team. You expect Miles Turner to be able to block some shots, and everybody else, you just want them to be adequate. But I think Indiana is a tough team. And the thing about Milwaukee is, I already told you I root hard against Milwaukee for what they did in terms of firing Adrian Griffin and the way that happened. So I'm not rooting for them anyway. So it. They had issues even with the Grizzlies this season. We're playing against the Grizzlies.
Lost twice.
You saw some of what could be a deficiency for their basketball team, which I always say, and the Grizzlies had in the past, lack of athleticism is what they have on their team.
Is it fair to say that? I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there, and I hate even throwing it out there, but it came to mind. Damian Lillard is he not? He's not a one guy, is he?
I would say a one guy in talent. But can you do enough to will everybody else to win? You know what I mean? Like, can mm-hmm. you? Can you? It's almost a little bit like. I mean, just in some ways, you start like Kevin Durant. I mean, there's no denying how good he is. How much, how far have you gotten the other teams close to the promised land as you did with a team that was already a championship team?
Yeah, it was stacked.
I mean, you see what I'm saying? You just added, no taking away, your finals MVP. There's no taking away from his talent, but you still had those people next to you. Without those people, those type people next to you, I think when he was at Oklahoma City, did they make it to the Western Conference Finals one time? I think they made it. They did.
They made it to the finals.
They made it to the finals. That's right.
Yeah.
So they made it to the finals the once there with Oklahoma City, and then he won a championship with them. But I think that for those guys, there's still something else that you do to be very good individually, but it's a effect that you have on everyone that allows the other guys to raise their play. And you make the plays that are necessary in those moments. But like I said, nothing you don't take away from how talented they are as players. I mean, some of the most talented players to play the game.
Yeah. Boston and Miami are now tied at one. Let me tell you something. As a baseball Cardinal fan, St. Louis Cardinals fan, I even make fun of the Cardinal fans and the Cardinals that every time they sign a player or any time there's a player in the organization, all they ever talk about is the Cardinal way. And you're like, all right, the Cardinal way. There's a way that the Cardinals do things. All right, whatever. Heat culture is another thing. But they're real. They're real things. The Cardinal way is real. It's something. Heat culture is something. How is this series? How are they even at the last year at this point? We were wondering how the hell are they at this point? And right, I'll ask that right now. How are they at this point?
Number one, Eric Spoelstra is that good. I love his staff that's made up of all former players. And then from there, it's almost like there's a Grizzlies way. At this point, people expect grit and grind from mm-hmm. the Grizzlies of some sort. They expect for this team to be good defensively. They expect them to be able to. Well, this team is the team that we presently have is a good forced turnover team. Our other team, when we started grit and grind, was just a physical defense, grind you out and make. And they just do it in a different way. And so, no matter what the circumstances, you still put yourself in a position to win. That is what Eric Spoelstra has been able to create with that in Miami is that no matter what, we're going to continue to play hard. He'll figure out who they have, how to maximize it, what's a good game plan to put guys in a position to win, and then they go out and play and execute better than the opponent.
Hard to doubt him. Hard to doubt him. Heck yeah. But certainly a tough matchup with the Boston Celtics. Now, two series are at 2-0. One of them, Cleveland Cavaliers against the Orlando Magic. Speaking of grit and grind, J.B. Bickerstaff said a couple of years ago that he was patterning things after grit and grind. Well, maybe 2 years later, it's actually that is the case. Orlando is averaging 84 points a game in the first two games. 84 points. I mean, Cleveland won one of them without scoring 100.
Yes.
So, I mean, that is some old – it's crazy to me, just to sidebar for a second, around the league here in this first round of the playoffs – how many teams have been kept under 100 points? It's at least a team a night, if not multiple teams on some nights as well. And some teams have even won without scoring 100. But Cleveland keeping Orlando in the 80s for two straight games.
Know why I think that happens? You know how we always talk about when you get to the playoffs, the officiating changes, they like to let the players play it out. Mm-hmm. Whereas during the regular season, as soon as you get these little bumps and stuff, it's always a foul.
Right.
Well, guess what? Those guys that don't know how to play with this next level of physicality, how do you play through it and continue to score, be efficient? The stakes are higher. So all of the factors go against you being like everybody continues to believe. It's why for the life of me I don't understand why we put such an onus on that you in order for basketball games to be good, it has to be 120, 130 points a game. It doesn't have to. That's not a reality.
Right.
Like basketball games can be good because good players are on the floor. Teams are executing, playing hard against one another, and then eventually there are runs that happen within the game. But it's hard to score because other team is playing hard and they have those players. It's fun to watch you still navigate it. Other than that, what we have in the regular season is touch fouls. We kind of make it everything tilt towards the offensive end. Then you get into the playoffs, and now it's just straight up basketball.
Yeah.
And guys, it's like, well, now how do I adjust to being – because you haven't done it all year. And you're having to do it with the stakes being that much higher. And so, yeah, you're seeing a bunch of these games that are high 90s. Those games are finishing in the 90s. Low hundreds. No, people not getting to 110. We're not seeing that.
No, we haven't. But good for JB. Happy for him. They're up 2-0 over Orlando. Then the other one's 2-0. But what a 2-0 it's been as the Knicks lead Philadelphia 2-0. Philadelphia could be up 2-0 over the Knicks.
It definitely should be 1-1.
But it definitely should be 1-1. I mean, the second game was just stolen. Just stop.
Gave it to him. It was miserable. Just here, y'all take the game.
Just terrible. And
but that's that New York. Remember we said the thing about New York? when teams just – it's just something about the spirit – there for you to win.
Yeah. I mean, game one, I thought, you know, with the few minutes – or with the minutes that Embiid was missing and Philadelphia still having a chance, I thought, boy, you really lost a chance of getting a game, stealing a game where Joel Embiid didn't play a lot of minutes. Might even be able to rest him in game two, possibly, before you come back to game three. Instead, you lose game one. And then in game two, the way that ends, just heartbreaking for Philadelphia. But with that being said, I mean, they have to take the mindset of, you know, hey, we're right here and we can beat these guys. We could be up 2-0, but let's just take care of business at home.
Yeah, I think they would. You still feel confident. The confident part is that Joel Embiid at least is still playing.
Yeah.
There was the scare with the knee, but he's still able to play, and so that they should feel confident that they can win. But it's going to come down to doing all of the little things the right way and the rebounding. Like, they're going to have to figure out a way to defensively rebound on a consistent basis. When they're doing it, then they put themselves in a great position to win. But they're just being out-hustled at times. And the thing with Embiid was, there are times when you're playing through a injury or something that is maybe sore, where it almost becomes a detriment to your team if you can't give enough on the offensive end. And defensively right now, there's no elevation. So he's having to do everything on the ground when Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson are two very live, active bodies. And so between them and then nobody plays harder than Josh Hart. At this point,
how about the numbers he's put up in these first two games?
Listen, he went from we're just gonna let him shoot to just knocking out threes after threes, big shots. He and DiVincenzo have been really good allowing the Knicks, and that's pretty much how the Knicks have done all year. It's just been guys, Deuce McBride off of the bench with his play also.
Man, watching these playoff games, I miss the playoffs, Brevin.
Oh, come on.
I mean, that feel, I always tell people my favorite time of the year is when you can feel that air condition in the arena turned up a little bit.
Just a little bit.
And you walk in, you're like, huh, and it's still bright outside. Yes. But it's cold in that arena, and you know it, what's coming, and then it just hits, and it's amazing. Mark Folwell, voice of the Mavericks, he told me a long time ago, when the Grizzlies were going through a long playoff run and the Mavericks were not at that point, they were going through their drought after their title. He said, don't ever take the playoffs for granted. He was like, because when they're not there, it's, those are the miserable years, and it sucks. It sucks not having playoffs. You miss it. Watching it, you miss it a lot.
I'm gonna tell you when I really miss it is when I watch Minnesota games. Mm. It's because their fans, to me, are very similar to our fans, in terms of it's almost like a college atmosphere.
Yeah.
In terms of how involved they are in a basketball game, you don't have to. You know, they don't have to. At this point, they don't have to be prompted to cheer. Back in the day, they used to put the cheering into the
sure.
speakers and turn it up. It was
like they do in Oklahoma City.
Right. Yeah, that's still a very. They're still a very hands underneath you sitting crowd for the most part. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. what's got but. Minnesota's is very lively, and so when I watch their games is when I really feel it.
Yeah.
Because that the best part about the playoffs is we have the party outside in the front, then watching all the people walk into the arena. Bill Street is packed with people, and then we get into the arena and we have the ground tiles or whatever everybody's wearing. It's just there's just such a vibe with our fan base when it's playoff time that it'll be nice to get back to it next year.
Where's your favorite place for the Grizzlies to win a playoff game? On the road.
Whenever we won San Antonio.
Boy, there weren't a lot of those for a while.
No, San Antonio. Whenever we would beat the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
In Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, man. Every time we beat Oklahoma City, I wanted to go out and piss on the logo in midcourt.
That's what I was like. those three places are all on the same level of when we won the game. Like, it almost felt like, yeah, like I'm going to take my jacket. I'm like, yeah.
There were
we
times.
Almost want to look at the other man. Announcer. I'm like, yeah. Can beat y'all. Yeah!
I swear to God, there were a couple times where I turned around and looked at the crowd and I pumped my fist. I was like, go home! Yeah. Get out of here!
Yeah. They're like, shut up, you TV people. Like, yeah, they're so like, what?
Shut up, TV guy. Yes. Like, yeah, whatever. All right, to the West. That was good. In the West, you have the Clippers and the Mavericks are tied at one. Expected to be an interesting series. Is this just a matter of whose stars are better?
I think so. And whose stars are going to be able to step up in crucial moments. Like, I think the role guys are going to be important to make big plays. And Kleber? Kleber mm-hmm. made big plays in game two. Big rebound off a missed free throw late in that game. Made a three late in that basketball game. They're able to do a, they can defensively can be versatile because they can switch because he can play guard. So I think the matchups are going to be important in terms of how both teams go about their lineups. But ultimately, yeah, I think it's going to come down to which team's stars are going to be big time stars in big moments.
Yeah.
I mean, because in game one, it was James Harden. He was big. The guy who wasn't big in both games, Kawhi didn't play game one, is Paul George has been pedestrian
yeah.
in these first two games. Of course, Kyrie and Luka didn't do well in game one. In game two, it was big plays, big threes hit by them late in that game. And so, I think this series comes down to which one of the stars are going to be it. And I say that also because these are ball-dominant stars.
Right. The Thunder and the Pelicans are playing as we talk here on Night Court After Dark.
After Dark.
Thunder-Pelicans game one was a really good basketball game, a tight basketball game. But I don't know. I think without Zion and with C.J. McCollum being in control of the ball, Oklahoma City's too good. I think Oklahoma City got their playoff feet wet there in game one and will rebound and be much better going forward. I think New Orleans lost an opportunity.
missed out on opportunity. And I think the other thing is the one area that New Orleans exposes with Oklahoma City is the lack of physicality on the interior with Valanciunas and how he's been able to be very dominant on the floor in terms of in the offensive rebounding, which was huge for Oklahoma City. I mean, for New Orleans in game one. They're going to have to figure that out. And Daigneault talked about them knowing that that was going to be a disadvantage and they were going to have to just be a lot better in all the other areas because they knew that was one they were going to give up. But I think that's the thing with New Orleans. You know, I said it during the year that between them and Phoenix, of teams we knew were going to be playoff teams, the lack of having a true point guard was eventually going to catch up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's caught up to both of them.
Absolutely.
And so I think that won't allow New Orleans to be able to beat OKC.
No, and then the team you just mentioned, Phoenix, they're down 2-0 to Minnesota. Minnesota's good. Minnesota's deep. Minnesota's big. Deep big. They're deep skilled, deep athletic. They've long been put together size, pretty good.
Yes.
And Phoenix is not. Phoenix is another team that I laugh at every year and hope that they lose. Because they just think you can put a couple guys together and it's going to make you a champion. And it's not. And they have the problem you were just talking about with New Orleans, about the point guard position.
Yeah, and the thing, and why I said it was because the other guys are all scorers. They're that's what they're known for. They may make plays for other people, but it's off of me going into a drive to then make a play for somebody. It's not thinking a step ahead of who gets the ball now, who needs it. And I thought that would have been good for them to have. And everybody thought Devin Booker, because of what he did last year in the playoffs, that this year he's going to come back and he could be their quasi point guard. I'm like, no, it's not going to work for the entirety of a season. And it won't work in the playoffs coming back because you still got two other guys. This is an offensively built team. Yeah, they don't have defenders that they put out there on the floor with that team. And so as soon as you run into another team that can match you physically, can match you size-wise, can do it with multiple people, can come with waves, then it was going to be hard for them to win. And another thing was their big three hadn't played a lot of games together.
Yeah.
And so that factors in. But the thing you said the big one was Minnesota's good, and they have a star of a star. They have a superstar. And got dog on Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
He is fantastic.
I'll say this, the way they played in the second half, how important is Karl Anthony Towns?
Karl Anthony Towns, as soon as for this season, I thought the reason why they were successful this year was because he accepted what his role is
right
now.
Right.
Like, the franchise is not on his shoulders. The franchise now is on Anthony Edwards. And we've seen a lot better Karl Anthony Towns. The other thing he does a good job of, not just selling for the threes this year.
Yeah.
Like playing out of the mid post or putting the ball on the floor and getting to the basket. He's been great.
And he played in foul trouble in game two and was able to play well. Minnesota's really good. I really like Minnesota.
Yes.
Going forward. Nuggets and Lakers. Lakers missed an opportunity because I don't know if the Lakers are going to get many opportunities against the Nuggets. Nuggets are too good. When you got playoff Jamal going. and then Joker being Joker. I mean, those are just that's a hard team to deal with.
Yeah, and they just kept chipping away. And you know, the thing for LA was we were talking about with the Clippers Dallas series where your stars just at crucial moments need to be able to step up and do it. They just weren't able to get it done, and it came down to that fourth quarter, and it was just LeBron James again having to get it all done. And I think that the same level that Anthony Davis played the first three quarters, they needed that same level of play in the fourth quarter. And I say that's why I always say that he's another one of those guys who needs a alpha next to him in order for him to be successful. Like, he can't be the alpha on your team and you're going to be a successful team.
Right. All right, one award's been handed out. Nas Reed, Sixth Man of the Year.
Nas Reed is, you were talking about that, the depth of the Timberwolves. He's at the head of that with the way that he shoots the three. He puts the ball on the floor, versatile on the defensive side, competes at a high level. He's a Jersey kid.
Jersey.
So that was a very, very well deserved for him.
Here are a couple of notes that I have. Remember when people said Anthony Edwards didn't love basketball enough?
Oh, yeah.
If he doesn't,
be happy that he does for everybody else.
If he doesn't, he loves competing. I mean,
well, so here's the thing: like a lot of, I can tell you this much, Roberto. When I was playing basketball, I didn't want to work out. Like, sure. I just wanted to play. Like, if you want to play, I want to play every day.
Oh, I don't think you'd be alone in that.
Right, and so I think that's where it got a little misconstrued. He may not want to do the every day, all the time, I'm going to work out. But it's like when it's time to put those shorts on and put those sneakers on and
there's some referee. He loves to play.
Man, he's the ultimate competitor.
How about when for Jamal Murray's game-winning shot? How awesome was that?
Fantastic.
That was amazing. And then how amazing was it that Darvin Ham was complaining about the officiating? Come on, man.
Y'all have shot more free. They got the biggest disparity in free throws, I think, this year.
Yeah.
Shot of them shooting more than their opponents. They're at least in the tops in the league.
Yeah, by a wide margin. And LeBron, I don't know what they're doing in Secaucus. Well, I don't know, but what are they eating, Brev?
I can help you with that.
Let's see what else. Kawhi, he's back. That's great. Jonas had 20 rebounds in game one. That was pretty unbelievable.
That's what I said. Yeah, he's an offensive rebounding machine.
Yeah. All right. FedEx gave Memphis $25 million for NIL money.
I heard that.
How about that?
This is today's college sports.
Yeah, man. Isn't that something?
They gave it for. Did they give it for the entire, or for the basketball?
For the athletic
department. For athletic department in general, all the way. Yeah, that's. The Stanford, they just started a collective there at Stanford. People were like, yeah, let's put money. I'm like, sure. I got
$100. $100. They ain't going to put your name on no plaque.
Hey, listen, man. I tell you, man, you got me at the wrong time. She got me right, like, when the person is playing.
That's right.
You got to get them while they're playing.
You just got me then,
now you want to do it after they're done?
Wrong time, bad timing. Yeah. Bad timing for Stanford. That's too bad.
Bump it up to 250. I'm just playing.
Go hit up Zaire.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in the NBA. I went to the library this week.
They still have those? What's the library like? Do they still have
let me tell you.
What's the catalog? How we used to get index? How used to,
the
what was that
something
called?
Catalog. It's a the.
Oh, man. It's like it's index. So it's not like index catalog.
It's a Dewey Decimal System. Is that something?
That is something, but that's not what. That's not. When you gotta go over to the thing, you gotta look through the card. You gotta do the card and then pull it out to go get the book.
Yeah,
it's probably all electronic. What was that? What was it like?
It was first of all, I had to Google where the nearest library was because I had no idea. Turns out it's right down the street.
That's a shame. That is an absolute shame.
I walk into the library, and they have metal detectors and stuff. I cleared those, so that was good.
Made it through.
I've tried to figure out, I would guess, the last time I've been in a library was probably like in 92. When I was 92. Like 20 years old, probably.
Yeah, sure. College.
So.
Well, no, I've taken one of my kids to the library.
I have not. This was the first time I've ever taken a kid to a library. First time. I was terrified, man. Same ladies that were working when I went to the library are still working there. They all look alike. And I sat at a table, and my daughter did some homework stuff, and I had on my iPad and on my phone, I had a baseball game and a basketball game on that I was watching. And I did that at the library. It was very quiet with my stuff. I had my earbuds in, and I'd never looked at, there were a lot of books. They got a lot of books there. I didn't look at any books. I didn't walk around. I was kind of intimidated by the library.
You just want a quiet place to go?
She had to do some stuff for school.
So that was your, while she was doing that.
Because she had to, like, I don't know what she had to do. She had to find some pictures.
You're supposed to, like, help, aren't you?
No, you're supposed to let them do their own work. She's in sixth grade. Do your own work. She had to find some pictures and then, like, get them photocopied. And she was like, well, we've used the printer at home before, but it doesn't work good enough. Her and her mother. All right. That's all I got.
If I had a printer, I would go to FedEx. That's a shame. I wouldn't even take the library.
I should have done FedEx, yeah, but we did the library. And they said you got to have a library card to get color printers. Or it's $1 a page. Whoa. Yeah. So we paid $1 a page.
Dude, here's $1. How many pages? There we go.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
All right. That's going to do it for us this week. Next week, big news. Big news regarding the show. Follow it on Twitter. At NightCourt22, at BrevinKnight22, at The Fish Nation. You can do that. And then, yeah, you get the podcast wherever you get your podcast. You'll still be able to do that. There's going to be video involved. So, big announcement coming up. So, make sure you stay tuned for that. Thanks for joining us.
And we may have one in between before next week. Playoff wrap up.
We might have another one. Who knows? I mean, it just depends. But we'll. But we are doing this. At least this is a good one. We did one like a week ago. That's pretty good, right?
That's a good start.
We're on good schedule. All right. For BK, I'm Fish. Thanks for joining us here on Night Court. We'll talk to you again next week.
Peace.